No matter what the sport, where it's played, or the teams behind it, we've got it. This is the Water Boys.
And how unlikely it has been. Look at the excitement. Collingwood have got home in another thriller.
It is quite extraordinary. 11 in a row for the Magpies. They defeated Melbourne last night 15-6, 96 to 13-11, 89 to jump to second spot on the ladder. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Water Boys. Brent Costello with you alongside Blairy Brownless. How are you, Blair?
Yes, good morning, Brenno. It was an amazing game last night. Finals like.
Wasn't it?
All the talk in the town was Melbourne were back and Collingwood hadn't played anyone that strong. And wow, geez, they were good, the Pies. Can you believe they finished 17th last year?
Amazing.
Second on the ladder. Unbelievable transformation.
What do we put it down to?
Craig McRae, the new coach.
He's the difference?
Absolutely, absolutely. They were tired from Nathan Buckley's coaching. There's no doubt about that. It was time for him to move on. And, you know, just brought some freshness around the club, and they have responded. Very good team, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I had to feel sorry for Bucks a bit last night on Fox Footy doing the special comments. He's got to watch that.
I know.
He'd be feeling a bit of FOMO, I reckon.
Well, you absolutely have to. But how efficient were they in the forward line? It felt like every time it went inside 50, they scored. It was amazing, their forward line efficiency. And their record in close games, it's outstanding.
Unbelievable. I think their average winning margin's 10 points or something those 11 wins, so it's quite extraordinary. What about Ed Langdon too? They got into him, didn't they?
Well, he added some spice before the game on a radio station and suggested they were a one-trick pony.
Yes.
But, geez, didn't they get an opportunity?
Really?
Guess who led it? Braden Maynard.
Surprise.
Yeah. And so that was great. Really good game. Really enjoyed Friday night footy.
Yeah, it was awesome. NRL last night too, Blair. You're all over that for us?
Yeah, a couple of big games. Now, Melbourne Storm. Oh, my team, 32, defeated the Titans, 14. So Titans are last on the ladder, of course, Breno. Storm up to third, only going okay, though. Sea Eagles, 20, lost to the Eels, actually, who were 36.
I love how you say your team. You'd never have watched the Storm. Maybe the grand final you probably tuned in for at best, I reckon, when you say it's your team. Chargers last night played down at the Kingborough Sports Centre. A loss for our girls, 83-74 against Sandringham. And the men, they led at three-quarter time, but unfortunately a 32-14 last term saw them lose to Sandringham's men's team 85-77, so a bit of a reality check there for the Chargers on the eve of finals.
Yeah, I heard Sandringham had a good team, actually. Anthony Stewart was saying during the week, and so disappointing last quarter, wasn't it, for the Chargers?
Absolutely. Now we've got to straighten up here. We've got an enormous show on the way. Action-packed 2 hours, big names left, right and centre. None bigger than probably our greatest export out of Tasmania in Ricky Ponting. He is an absolute superstar. And speaking of great sporting experts, another big name full forward besides yourself on the show this morning. Who have we got, please?
Well, we've got the great Peter Hudson. How good is that, Breno?
Amazing.
Special day for the Hawks. They're recognising their absolute superstar.
Yep, on the jersey. So we'll talk to Hutto about that a little bit later on in the show. Wayne Campbell on the other side of the coin will represent the Gold Coast Suns on the show. He's the footy operations manager up there. And Isaac Rankin in the news. Look forward to asking
about Isaac
and his future. Danny Pickett will join us too.
This is huge.
It is a big
North versus South
netball grand final this afternoon at the Silverdome. Looking forward to talking to Danny about that. We haven't got to the Commonwealth Games yet, but
we're over 50 medals already, Breno.
50 gold medals, Blair.
Yeah, 50 gold ones are correct. And can we reach that magical 80 that we got? The gold medals, as you say, that we got at the Gold Coast.
Tough from here, I reckon. Day or so to go, but you never know. You never, ever know. Anyway, we're going to get to the song. Because on the other side of this, we're going to have a look at the week that was. Plenty to talk about there as well, locally, nationally and internationally. You are with the Water Boys for your Saturday morning right across Tassie. Thanks to Maccas.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to the Water Boys for your Saturday morning. Thanks to McDonald's. Order a barista-made coffee from McCafe using the My Maccas app and you'll go into the draw to win free coffee for a year.
Reflecting on sport from the past 7 days, here's the Water Boys, Week It Was.
Plenty to get through locally, nationally and internationally, but let's start at home, Blair. Jack Gleeson is at risk of being deregistered from football. Obviously, he was reported last week for a sling tackle in the game against Huonville. He plays for Lindisfarne, captains Lindisfarne, of course, and he was on that threshold of the 16 games. So if you go past that, we know you get deregistered from footy. And this has happened to Jack before, and he replied to come back, so he's on his second chance, if you like. But yeah. The appeal now goes to the SFL Tribunal on Monday night at 7 o'clock, and he'll learn his fate then. But big story, this one.
Yeah, I was fascinated to read he'd already been deregistered back in 2018, like you said, Bruno, in the Heathcote comp in Country Victoria. Yep. So he's already been deregistered and come back, applied to come back. It's well known once you get that 16-game suspension threshold, that's it in all national competitions. So, look, he got 3 weeks originally for a sling tackle, and people are saying that it's not that bad, that it's just a tackle that's gone wrong. But the sling tackle is very dangerous in footy, and it's been outlawed for that very reason, because it can cause a lot of damage, because the player being tackled can't defend themselves in that situation. So it got put down to one game, and look, the rules are rules as far as I'm concerned, and that's it. And if you don't enforce the rules that you have, you know, there'll be equally another outrage the other way, and saying, why aren't you enforcing this?
So, well, someone said yesterday to me, you know, it's all right to feel sorry for Jack, and I do, because his team's flying. He's the
captain. I
know
him personally. Yeah. I feel sorry for him.
Absolutely. But, as someone said yesterday, that could stop someone going to work on Monday, or, you know, not be able to do something with your kids if you get injured or something, like, you know what I mean? Like, so it is, it's two sides of the story, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly right. And so the impact on the player that's injured, or, you know, we've seen, not in this case, but players have had broken jaws, broken collarbones and things like that, and the impact on their personal life is huge. So I really feel sorry for Jack, but, my personal stance is, you know, the rules are rules.
Let's go on to the Tassie AFL bit, because the stadium still the hot topic, I suppose. And the news came out earlier in the week that they're sort of basing it on this Townsville Stadium up in northern Queensland, and also one in Dunedin in New Zealand with the Perspex roof, which I looked at during the week. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, the grass would grow well.
You'd think so. Yeah. I don't know how hot it would get in there. But,
a hot house.
Hot, exactly. Maybe that's what the nickname could be. But we're getting closer, Blairy.
Yeah, the costs of the stadium are going down, Breno, because they were in the $1 billion range at the start, and that wasn't great. But, you know, you've got to reflect on the government's commitment at the moment. Yeah, $100 million over 10 years.
Plus the 50
for the high performance centre. Yep. So 150 mil. And then half the cost of the new stadium.
It's a lot of money.
That is a massive amount of money. And no other AFL club that's entered the competition has had to put up anywhere near that. Nowhere near that. No. And we've been made to put this sort of offer on the table. And that's the reality, and that's where we're at. So, but I like the look of that new stadium, and Macquarie Port, if we could just move it over there a little bit, just roll in from the city, a couple of frothies in town, and roll over there, it'd be huge.
Well, I spoke to an engineer during the week, and they said, do not go to Regatta Point. It would be a nightmare. You're going to have to cut a big section of it out, obviously build out into the water. It's going to cost a whole lot more money. So I think Matt Point is it, I reckon.
On the flat. I saw that interview. It was a good interview. Exactly right. And that fella, he seemed to know what he's talking about. Absolutely. I think he had years of experience.
He's retired, absolutely. let's go into the JJs, because Isaac White has landed in town. He's a replacement player for Clint Steindl, who's obviously out injured and probably missed a large chunk of the first part of the season, which is disappointing. But Isaac White comes in from the Illawarra Hawks, a really well-renowned shooter. So looking forward to seeing what he can bring. And Josh Adams was the other big story during the week. He's off to Slovenia after signing with the team over there. So
you got a big contract, obviously, Breno.
But the other big news is Will Magnay's recovery not going as smoothly as we'd like, a little bit slower. So Scott Roth admitted to us in the press conference during the week that he's on the hunt for a second injury replacement player. So a bit to work through for the JJs.
Yeah, poor old Will just can't get on the court, can he?
No. And he's been missing since January, I think, is when the injury took place. So it's been a long time out for him, considering we're in August now.
Now, I'm going to throw to you, Breno. Yes. Your coverage of the Devonport Strikers was outstanding during the week.
Oh, thank you.
No, really well done, because how good is that club? What is it about that club up there that overachieves and is able to, you know, get into these situations?
Well, just the culture, I think. They're a good club, good people, and people want to play there. They don't pay their players, as the president Drew Smith told me.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. No, they don't pay their players.
They just want to be there and play soccer. So it was a great night at Valley Road. Obviously, the score didn't go their way, 4-0 in the end. But, you know, you're talking about an NBL team playing an NBA team. That's the sort of comparison you're talking about here. So just the experience for him to get out there. 3,000 in the house on a Wednesday night.
It was rocky.
It was really good. So,
geez, they had an opportunity to score early, didn't they? I watched the game on 10-plus it was. Yes. That's how big it is. And Archie Thompson commentating. But they had the chance earlier, but then the class of Wellington was just a bit much, wasn't it? But,
yeah, it was.
Yeah, so, and geez, I thought it was going to be another wet track, heavy track, but game a couple of years ago.
Yeah, no, they'd redone it since then, so actually it was pretty good. They put some more sand down, I think, and I was actually surprised. We caught some really wet weather on the way up, and it turned out really well. Hey, let's go to cricket, because big news yesterday, Sally-Ann Beames has stepped down as coach of the WNCL team and the Hobart Hurricanes to take on the high performance role at Cricket Taz. So she'll move across both men's and women's formats now, which is exciting for Sal. But gee, it leaves a hole on the eve of the season for both the women's programs after they won the title last year, of course.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, maybe one of the assistant coaches for the Hurricanes could move over. We've got a big team there, haven't we? We've got Darren Berry and James Hopes.
Yes, maybe.
Maybe Ricky. We'll put that question to Ricky when he comes on a bit later. Yeah. If he can help out with coaching some of the women's team. But the high performance role across both programs, that's a very exciting role.
It is indeed. Wish Sal all the best. She's a ripper. So a really nice appointment there. Well done to Jess Fox too. Of course, canoe slalom, absolute gun. She had a really big week and took golds and silvers and everything at the World Champ. So well done to her as we wind up the week that was. We've got a big show ahead. Ricky Ponting to join us. Peter Hudson to join us. Danny Pickett too isn't too far away. But up next, we have a deep dive into the Commonwealth Games here on the Water Boys right across Tasmania. Thanks to Maccas.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to Tassie's best local sports show, The Water Boys. Thanks to McDonald's, order a barista-made coffee from McCafe using the My Maccas app and you'll go into the draw to win free coffee for a year. Turning our attention to Birmingham now. As you said, BB, we are past or on 50 gold medals now, which is really exciting, a dominant display. But, gee, England's closing They're coming for us late.
Yes, just behind us at the moment. I wonder if they could just sneak over the top, because track and field, not our greatest discipline. And
swimming's our best, so that's why we're off to a hot start, weren't we, in the pool, which was awesome.
We start any Olympic Games, Com Games, beautifully, because swimming's always at the start of the program and gets us going.
Yep, exactly right. But this is the problem with Com Games. We go so well, there's so many things we could talk about. We've only got a 5-minute segment, so I thought we could focus on the Tassie athletes, which we'll get to in a moment. But the hockey this morning.
Well, high drama.
It was high drama,
wasn't there? And the semi-final, the women's team, yes, against India, 1-1 after full time. Go to one-on-one penalties. I wouldn't mind seeing this in soccer as well. So it's not just a straight hit at goal.
Bit of movement.
Yeah, a bit of movement. You've got 8 seconds to score and you move the goalkeeper around to try and get it past them.
Yep.
But in the end, Australia won the penalties there 3-0. But there's controversy on the first one. The Indian keeper made a save. But apparently the 8-second clock didn't work, Breno, so they got to retake it.
At the Commonwealth Games?
Yeah, at the Commonwealth Games. And the Australian player retook that first one and scored. Oh. So they were a little bit flat after that, India. And can you imagine if that happened in Australia?
Oh,
there'd be an outrage.
The seats would be pulled out of the stands and everything. It'd be extraordinary. Well, let's have a look at the Tassie athletes, because it's been a very good campaign. Jake Birtwistle, he finished fourth in the men's triathlon. And then he got the bronze in the mixed team relay, which was really good. Georgia Baker, a couple of goals.
This is a big one. Two gold.
She's a star. Women's team pursuit, of course. And the points race, so that was good. The women's road time trial, she finished fourth as well.
Yes.
Josh Duffy, he was involved in that horror crash. Did you see that?
Yes, he went down hard. Yes.
It was unbelievable. So he obviously didn't finish that, but got the bronze too in the men's scratch race.
Yep.
What about Arnie? Ariane Titmus.
Clap, clap.
Four from four.
You can't do any better than that. And there's a couple of challenges in the pool for her as well. But Ariane, super effort. We take it for granted already, don't we, that she's going to produce something like that.
Yep.
Absolute star.
Absolutely. Nick Carey's there as well, playing in the T20 cricket. Hasn't played yet, I don't think, Nick. So
in the squad,
she's watching on from the stands. Beck Van Ash, she's been pretty prominent in the lawn bowls, of course, as she is. Jake Templeton got the bronze medal in the freestyle S13 para swimming, which was good. Our hockey boys ready to rock and roll. Looking forward to seeing if they can bring home gold. We've got the semi-finals tonight, which we're looking forward to. Hayden Armstrong, he was the guide for the para athlete. which was good. They finished sixth. Erica Burley, she was sixth in the paratriathlon. Sam Fox was sixth in the men's mountain biking. Emily Meaney, she was 12th in the 10-metre platform diving. And what about this? I don't know what this bloke's done to upset someone, but Stewie McSwain forced to withdraw.
Yeah.
He has had such a tough run. He had the long COVID, got himself right, went to the World Champs, did pretty well over there as far as his times went, and then got the flu on the way to Birmingham.
Yeah, exactly right. So out with the flu after he had those problems with the COVID reaction there too. But you're spot on. His times were right on track, actually. I was looking at that closely in the 1500. And, yeah, I was devastated to see he wasn't racing in that.
Yeah.
But what about the pool? Just going back to the pool, the big stars. Now, Emma McKeon got six gold, one silver and one bronze. She'll be 30 at Paris, okay? So she hopefully still...
Still going?
That'll be it. That'd be it for, I think, after that. But the young gun, 18-year-old, do you hear about this one? Molly O'Callaghan.
Yeah, she's a star.
Five gold and two silver. She's 18.
Trained by Dean Boxall too. Yeah. So, gee, he's got some good form, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. So look forward to Paris there, our reign in the pool continuing.
Yes, big few days ahead as we wind down Birmingham Commonwealth Games for 2022. It's been unbelievable to watch it on the closing ceremony. Only a few days away now. We've got a big show ahead. Peter Hudson not too far away. Wayne Campbell not too far away. Ricky Ponting not too far away as well. But up next, we have a deep dive into the State Netball League Grand Final, which is happening this afternoon at the Silver Dome in Launceston. Northern Hawks player Danny Pickett joins us next here on the Water Boys right across Tassie. Thanks to Macca's.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to the Water Boys. Thanks to McDonald's, order a barista-made coffee from a cafe using the My Macca's app and you'll go into the draw to win free coffee for a year.
The Water Boys, talking all things netball.
Massive day ahead for netball in Tasmania with the State League Grand Final taking place at the Silver Dome this afternoon. And one star player that will be out there is the Northern Hawks, Danny Pickett, who's been good enough to join us on the Water Boys this morning. How are you, Danny? Fired up?
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Really excited. Much happier this year being able to play and not sit on the bench and watch. So super pumped.
That was my first question to you. We spoke to you this time last year and you must have been devastated at that point. You would have been happy for the girls, but not to be able to be out there yourself. But as you say, this year, a whole different turn of events.
Yeah, certainly. I think not having sort of any control over what happens on the court last year was the hardest thing. And then being on the bench and watching us unfortunately lose the grand final was, it really hurt. So very excited this year to have come back and put ourselves in the position to be able to hopefully bring home a Premiership Cup.
Now, we'll get to your hot season in a minute, but your opponents today, a surprise opponent, is it fair to say, in Cripps? Obviously, we're used to the Northern Derby for the grand final, but we saw Cavs couldn't get it done last week.
Yeah, certainly. I think surprising for a lot of people, but Cripps have certainly been really close with us in our three encounters this year. We've only beaten them by under 5 points on two occasions. So we know that they were certainly capable of beating Cavs, but they played a pretty incredible game against them and won by a pretty significant margin in that final. So, yeah, look, for us, we know that they can bring it. And, I'm really hoping they played their grand final last week. I think Aaron Pidgeon mentioned it during the week that it was their best game of the season. So let's hope that was their grand final.
Yes, they lost that game against you only by 3 points. The last time you played, Cripps was there, Danny. But who's your greatest rival? Is there more spice in this one because it's a North-South encounter, or you must be a great rival with Cavs as you've played them in a lot of grand finals recently?
Yeah, I think certainly Cavs would be our biggest rival. But in the past, before Cavs and Hawks had that run of grand final, it was us and Arrows. And Arrows are obviously a Hobart-based team, so they've certainly been a recent rival of ours. But we have a lot of respect for Cripps. We've got one of our ex-players, Jamie Simons, playing for them this year. So there's certainly that aspect that we hope to get over the top of them. But there's a lot of respect between the two teams and the two coaches as well.
Yes. Now, Danny, I want to talk about your partner in crime there, Ash Moore, goal shooter, goal attack combination you have with her. I've just checking the stats. Has she scored 884 goals this season in 19 games? That's about 46 goals average per
game.
No
way.
I can confirm that's definitely true.
Yes.
She is Yeah, she's a dominant force in our team, and in particular the league, and she has been for the last, I'd probably say 4 to 5 seasons. She's absolutely dominated, and the last 12 to 18 months, Ash has got herself the fittest that she's ever been, and so that's given her the ability to go out to goal attack as well, and for me to swing into goal shooter, which has been nice coming back from the Achilles. So, she is an absolute force to be reckoned with, and she will be a key player today.
Absolutely. That would be fantastic. What sort of crowd can we expect there in the Silver Dome? Will it be rocking there? 4 o'clock start too, is it? Yeah.
2 p.m. start for the under-19s, yep. And in the under-19s we've got Cripps and Devonport, so that'll be a really tight match as well. And then at 4 o'clock we are playing. And, yeah, I think the NTNA netball, so our local netball, they've cut their roster short a little bit, so we'll hopefully have all the juniors up there and, looking for a really big crowd, and hopefully we can come through with the win.
Now, Danny, I don't want to put the moz on you. I know you got the respect for Cripps, so it's all good. Okay. But, Blair, was it 1973 Sandy Bay went through undefeated and lost the grand final?
You're going to have to go right back there, Brenno.
What I'm trying to say is you can't be complacent in the big dance, can you?
Oh, really? Thanks, Brenno. That's...
But you go, as you said, Danny, you got full respect for this team you're playing against this afternoon. You won't be taking them lightly.
No, absolutely not. Look, we went through undefeated in 2020 and then came through with the goods in 2020 against the Cavaliers. So that's certainly not the mockers on us, hopefully, Brent. But, we have the utmost respect for them. A really close game only 3 weeks ago, so we know that they're going to bring it today, and they're certainly a very informed side. So I think it'll be a really exciting game, but hopefully we can get the job done.
As we let you go, Danny, what's the celebrations look like afterwards? I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but do you guys do a silly Sunday or a mad Monday or something like that?
Yes, we certainly do. Win, loss or draw, we always plan our silly Sunday. That makes us a bit accountable to celebrate the season no matter what happens. So I think everyone's got their costumes sorted. We always speak pretty highly of our Sundays, and then we get there and we really struggle.
What are you going with, Danny? Yeah. What's your costume, Danny? Can you give us a sneak look?
Yeah, we've gone with Shrek characters. So we did a bit Shrek. Of the names out of the hat, and I got Dragon, and I have not done it justice whatsoever, but it'll be pretty funny.
That's awesome.
Well done.
Good luck this afternoon. It's going to be a ripping game. Northern Hawks and Cripps in the Silver Dome for the grand final of the State Netball League. Danny Pickett, we wish you all the best, and thanks very much for giving up your time to us on game day for the Water Boys.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to the Water Boys right across Tasmania. Thanks to McDonald's, order a barista-made coffee from a cafe using the My Maccas app and you'll go into the draw to win free coffee for a year. Brent Costello and Blair Brownless with you on this Saturday morning, and it's time to talk footy on the show now.
We're a happy team at
Yes, we've got the big AFL clash in Launceston this afternoon between the Hawks and the Suns, and this man will be the guest of honour. He was a VFL Premiership player in 1971, a 4-time Coleman medalist, 2-time Hawthorn Best and Fairest, 6-time Hawks leading goal kicker, 2-time All-Australian, Hawthorn Team of the Century, and a legend in the Australian Football Hall of Fame. He's now also a legend in his beloved Hawks Hall of Fame, and it's that achievement we're recognising on the show today, because in Launceston this afternoon, the club will wear a special guernsey to honour everything he's achieved. Of course, I speak of the great Peter Hudson, who's been good enough to jump on for a chat this morning. Welcome to the Water Boys. Hello.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on board.
It's a massive pleasure for us to have you on. Now, this is a massive day. You've had a lot of achievements over your career, but Hawthorn recognising you today on the jumper, where does that stack up for you?
Oh, it's fantastic. I've done a few things this week about it, and it's one of those things that you don't ask for, but when it's sort of offered to you, and when it comes along, you really appreciate it. And, to me, it's a bit like the Hall of Fame situation that in Tassie, at Hawthorn, and the AFL. You don't start out aiming to get these things, but when they say to you, you know, that you can have this honour, you take it with both hands. That's the way I look at it. Because, I mean, when I started playing footy, there was no Hall of Fame, no jumper with your name on it or anything like that. It's very much appreciated.
Yeah, it's a great initiative, Peter. Now, a couple of months ago, I did catch up with you at the launch of your book, actually, A Football Genius, written by Dan Eddy. It is a superb book. And how are sales going? Because the day I was there, you were autographing hundreds of copies.
Now, let me clear one thing up, Blair. I didn't come up with that title. No. When Dan Eddy was writing the book, he said, well, yeah, we're going to call it the Football Genius thing. And I said, hang on. I said, that's not me. He said, no. He said, we've got it covered because John Kennedy said it. And I said, well, if John Kennedy said it, that's good enough for me.
Yeah. Peter, the blurb on the back says, the highest paid and most talked about player of his era.
Mm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, it's fantastic to see you. And the great thing about you, Peter, you're so good with people. You not only signed the book, you told some great stories about your wonderful career there at Hawthorn. But one question I did have for you, at the time, when you made the transition from Tassie footy to the VFL, the difference wasn't that wasn't a great difference between the two competitions. Is that right, when you first went across to the VFL?
Yeah, well, in that time, in my time in the TFL before I went to Hawthorn, when I was playing at New Norfolk, there were so many players that in this era, would have been playing in the VFL. But not many players made the move back in those days. A lot of players, you know, you had, say, fantastic footballers in Tassie that never, ever ventured to the Victoria to play in the VFL. And the same with Western Australia and South Australia. And that's why when you picked the state side in Tassie in those days, they were very, very good teams, because the bulk of the players were good enough to play at the highest possible level, which happened in those days to be the VFL. So from the point of view of the transition, that was the reason why the two competitions were much, much closer, or very close. And so, you know, it wasn't like you were going into the great unknown. You know, you had a pretty fair idea of what it was all about by the time you got there. But it was just that not too many people did venture. And it was all to do with the money, which wasn't around in those days, the jobs that people had, you know, their families. Say, for example, were in Tassie, and there wasn't a great deal of encouragement for you to leave Tasmania to go to the VFL in those days.
Peter, before we let you go, it would be remiss of us not to ask you about Tasmania's AFL bid. We're so close to having a team announced, potentially. This must bring you a lot of pride. And what would it mean for you to see a Tasmanian team running around the national competition?
I've said numerous times that my opinion on the whole, or my attitude to the whole thing is, like, I'm like any other Tasmanian. I would give anything to see Tasmania have a team in the AFL. But as far as the pros and the cons and the, you know, what's going to happen and what is happening, I've got no idea about any of that. But, you know, a lot of people have spoken to me about it and do think that I know the ins and outs of it all, but I don't. But my attitude is my fingers are crossed, like probably all of us. And I think that anybody that's got any connection with Tasmania whatsoever would want a team in the AFL. At this stage, I'm like everybody else, hoping for the best. And I think, you know, not only people that have got a Tasmanian connection would like to see a team in the AFL, but I think most people in the football world would like to see Tasmania have a team in the AFL.
Absolutely. Well said. It is going to be an interesting few weeks ahead. There's no doubt about that. Now, not only is the club acknowledging you today, there's lots of other things going on at UTAS Stadium. Ben McAvoy is playing his 250th game, and the club's teamed up with Chemist Warehouse with a marquee on the day where fans can come along and get your head taped, Blair, like Big Boy McAvoy, which is exciting. And yep. Also, the match day partner is the Royal Flying Doctor Service Tasmania, and fans will be able to check out the plane simulator on the concourse before the game. But it is all about you today, Peter Hudson, and that's why we're appreciative that you gave up some of your time for us on the water, boys, this morning. I know you're about to catch a plane, so we better let you go. But good luck today, and thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
This is the Water Boys.
Yes, hour two of the Water Boys coming your way, and we are jam-packed with superstars, none bigger than the great Ricky Ponting, who joins us soon. Also, the Gold Coast Suns gem of football, Wayne Campbell, isn't too far away. But Blairy, good game at the G last night, wasn't it?
Huge game. We loved it right from the start. The intensity was up, the effort was up, and it was finals-like. Well done, Pies.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done to the Marty Pies. What about the NRL last night, Blairy?
Well, two big games. We had Sea Eagles 20, defeated by the Eels 36. And our team, the Storm, 32, third on the ladder, defeated the Titans, 14.
Tough night for the Hobart Chargers last night at the Kingborough Sports Centre. Both our men's and women's teams going down to Sandringham, unfortunately. All right, big show ahead, as we said in the second hour. Ricky Ponting and Wayne Campbell to join us very, very soon. Here on the Water Boys, right across Tassie, thanks to Backers.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to the Water Boys with Brent Costello and Blair Brownless on this Saturday morning, August 6, 2022. We're doing it all thanks to our great friends at McDonald's. Order a barista-made coffee from McCafe using the MyMackers app and you'll go into the draw to win free coffee for a year.
Turning their attention to the national game, it's the Water Boys AFL Wrap.
As we mentioned earlier, big game in Launceston this afternoon. We heard about the Hawks' chances a little earlier. Let's hear the other side of the coin now and this mob.
We are the Sons of the Gold.
Our next guest this morning played 297 games with Richmond between 1991 and 2005, kicking 172 goals. He's a member of the club's Hall of Fame, captained the Tigers between 2001 and 2004, and was also a best and fairest at the club on four occasions. I speak of Wayne Campbell, who now finds himself as the general manager of football at the Gold Coast Suns. Wayne, good morning and welcome to the Water Boys.
G'day, Brett. How you going?
Going well. Now, I'm assuming you've already touched down in Launceston. How's the weather today?
This morning on my, 15K run, which was probably 4K. beautiful blue skies, a bit fresh, I've got to say, but probably the same as where you guys are in Hobart. But really nice conditions for footy today, I'd say.
Very nice. Now, big year for the Suns, so obviously a lot of improvement. How have you assessed it from the sidelines?
We've improved. Probably set ourselves to play finals at the start of the year, which we're still a half a chance, or some probably less than half a chance, but we're a bit of a chance to do. 10 to 12 wins was probably what we were chasing, and that 11 or 12 can sometimes get you into the finals. And we've won nine now, so really want to finish the season well. If that ends up in finals, that ends up in finals. But we'd love to get to 12 wins. So, but to then narrow your focus and back to Hawthorn today. In Launceston, we need to get that one done. But no, it's been an improving, pleasing year so far.
Now, Wayne, you take some form in against Hawthorn. You've won your last two, actually. Round 11, 67 points. It was a walloping of Hawthorn. Was that in Darwin, that game?
Yeah, that was in Darwin. We actually had 2 weeks up there, or two games. So we got up there on the Thursday. And we do see there's a bit of a fortress for us up there because of the unique conditions, much like maybe it is down here at Launceston and Hobart for North and Hawthorn. But unique conditions to us. So we played the Hawks up there the first week and had a really good win, which set up the week, actually. It was much better to win the first game and be a little bit happy for the week. And then we played North the following week as well, so, and had a good win. So we loved our time up in NT.
Yeah, no, definitely. Now, the Suns, just setting up your culture there and your lifestyle, everyone seems to think it'd be a great place for a young person to go up there and play. You've had a few difficulties retaining players. How have you assessed the cultural change there at the club?
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful environment to be in, both within the footy club, and the footy club is just made up of people, and then you have your systems and processes and all that sort of stuff, but it starts with the people, and there's some wonderful people there, led by Stuart Jew, who's a coach who's really connected to his players, which has become well known, and coming in into this season. There was, you know, there was pressure because Stewie had the, he was in the final year of his current contract, but he handled that really well, and we got to that pretty quickly in terms of the contract. And then, you know, just in terms of all the other, the coaching staff, the high performance medical, all of that, it's a really strong, it's a really strong culture in the footy department and in the broader club. And then as a place to live, it's really nice. And Australia's got some really diverse places like Hobart, Launceston, and Perth and Darwin that we just talked about. But the Gold Coast is a, it's a really, really nice place to live and play elite sport as well.
Now, speaking of retaining players, Wayne, obviously Isaac Rankin in the news at the moment with a pretty good offer from Adelaide on the table by all reports. Are you confident you can hang on to a young man that's playing some really good footy?
We'd love to, for sure. No, he's playing some terrific footy. He's really hit his straps this year. Probably won us a couple of games, I reckon, some tight ones. And even going back to round one against West Coast, I think he kicked four and had 10 score assists or something like that. So, but then he had a bit of a slower start. He got a cork in that game and missed a bit of footy and then came back and was a bit slow. But geez, really, he's really got going since then. So looking forward to watching him today against the Hawks, and hopefully he kicks a few more goals for us.
Now, Wayne, just a quick one from me. Just on your own career back at the Tigers, you finished on 297 games. Can you sleep okay at night knowing that you just missed out on 300? And also another quick one, 1995, I remember this, you were the Brownlow favourite as well. Didn't quite poll that well. can you sleep on both of those matters?
Oh, Flair.
I had the full 8 hours last night. the 297 gets brought up quite a bit, but no, I'd had enough, mate. I'd had enough. Yeah. I would sleep worse if I had have dragged my broken mind and body around for another three games, I reckon. And the 95, that gets brought up quite a bit as well. And yeah, it was joint favourite and finished about 78. So there you go.
A magnificent career regardless, mate. You're an absolute star. And you're a star for joining us on the Water Boys this morning. Really appreciate it on game day. And all the very best against the Hawks this afternoon.
Thanks, boys. Have a great day.
There he goes. Wayne Campbell, the GM of footy at the Gold Coast Suns, joining us ahead of the big game at UTAS Stadium this afternoon. Hawthorn and the Gold Coast Suns. Plenty more still to come on the show this morning. But up next, we have got royalty joining us on the line. Ricky Ponting, what a superstar. Woo! And he's with us next here on the Water Boys right across Tasmania. Thanks to Maccas.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to the Water Boys on this Saturday morning, August 6, 2022. Brent Costello and Blair Brownless with you. Thanks to our great friends at McDonald's. Order a barista-made coffee from a cafe using the My Maccas app and you'll go into the draw to win free coffee for a year.
It's the Water Boys Cricket Report.
Our next guest is arguably the greatest sports person our state has ever produced. He played 168 tests and 375 ODIs for his country between 1995 and 2012, scoring a combined total of over 27,000 runs. He also captained Australia on 323 occasions and is the most successful skipper in international cricket history with a winning rate of 67.91%. We could sit here and, of course, talk about his achievements all day, but let's just speak to the man himself. It's the great Ricky Ponting who joins us on the line. Welcome back to the Water Boys, Rick.
No worries, man. It's nice to be here.
Nice to have you on. Now, it's hard to believe, but you've been retired for 10 years, but you're certainly keeping yourself busy, coaching, obviously, in the IPL, new role with the Hurricanes, which we'll ask you about soon, commentating throughout the summer, but you're also a wine connoisseur, which we're going to have a chat about off the top this morning. Tell us a bit about your wine range, because I absolutely love this, because you've named them after memorable parts of your career.
Yeah, who would have thought, Brent, that someone that grew up in the, you know, the wrong side of the tracks in the northern suburbs of Tasmania would be sitting here talking to you about his own wine label that he's sort of brought out over the last couple of years. Look, it's been a bit of a journey for Rihanna and I. You know, we're both wine lovers, and we both, you know, we drink probably more wine now than we should. And certainly the last 10 years that I've been retired, probably drunk a bit more than I did when I was playing. But we've been on this journey of sort of learning about and understanding wine and different regions of wine and different countries and things. And then a friend of ours that's worked in the industry for, you know, 20-odd years contacted me about 3 years ago and said, what do you think about creating your own label and your own brand? And I think there's a really good opportunity for you in the market to do it. And Brianna and I looked at each other for a minute and had a discussion, and we thought, yeah, why not? You know, why not give this a bit of a crack? And it's been, you know, a real passion project of ours ever since. So, yeah, things have developed. They've come a long way over the last couple of years. We actually in a good way or a bad way, we actually our brand actually launched pretty much the first week that we went into lockdown and COVID hit Victoria 2.5 years ago now. So we've had our challenges along the way, but it's been a lot of fun. For Rihanna and I to work on our own business together has been great fun.
Yeah, some of the ones I like the look of, obviously the Adelaide Hills one, the first session of a test match was extra special to you. The Blur Breeds here, a chance to pull on the baggy green with 10 of your mates coming together as one. You've got the Rihanna Rose as well, which is lovely. The Mowbray Boy, Tasmanian Pinot Noir, which is cool. The Close of Play, there's all sorts of ones, but the main one, I think, is the 366, and that's your flagship one, isn't it?
Yeah, so what we tried to do right through the brand, guys, is we tried to tell a bit of a story through the brand as well. And it was when we started out here, our winemaker Ben Riggs is based in South Australia. But I said if I was going to do this at all, it's really important to me to tie back some of my Tasmanian heritage into the range as well. So, and that's just the storytelling that we've been trying to create. So, yeah, the Pinot Noir named the Mowbray Boy, and the reason for that is, if you probably asked anyone in Tasmania to describe me, the first thing probably comes to mind, they probably say, oh, he's a Mowbray Boy. So that's where the name for the Pinot Noir came from. The Chardonnay that we had in the range as well, the Tasmanian Chardonnay, was actually called the Pioneer Chardonnay. From that's the region up on the northeast coast where my sort of family heritage started. So there are a few of the stories that we tried to tie in. And then it gets more, I guess, more cricket specific when you talk about, you know, some of the names that you said there. The Sauvignon Blanc is called the first session. The Close of Play is the Cab Sav. It's won six gold medals, international wine awards all around the world over the last couple of years. So we're really pleased with that. The Pinnacle Shiraz. The Pinnacle talks about the pinnacle of cricket, as far as I was concerned, was Ashes cricket. So as a young boy growing up in Launceston, all I wanted to do was be good enough to play a test match for Australia, and hopefully that was going to be an Ashes test match. So I guess there's some of the stories that we've tried to tell. And the 366, as you mentioned there, Brent, at the end, is that's obviously my test playing number. That's our icon wine in the range. That's and that's just won a platinum and judged 97 points at the Decanter World Wine Awards in London just a couple of months ago.
So wow.
We're kicking some great goals. The product that we're putting out there and producing is absolutely outstanding. We've just got to get it into more people's hands and more people's mouths. And we know when we do that, those people will hopefully keep coming back.
Yeah, it's very exciting, Ricky. But how about some advice for all our male listeners in particular out there, that for wine appreciation and how you made the transition? I know you spoke about Rihanna and yourself enjoying a wine on a Sunday there. So any tips for all us punters who are pretty welded onto beer, to be honest?
Because it's you, I'm not going to give too much away. The next Clarence, I used to go and boo every other week when I was in North Melbourne North Launceston hat and jumper on. So if you block your ears, I'm happy to tell all the listeners. But if you block your ears, we'll move on. To be totally honest, I was exactly the same. Where, you know, like, even at the end of a test match, at the end of my career, I'd have a couple of beers and then move on to having a couple of glasses of wine. I just think, you know, my palate tended to change a little bit, I guess, because I was probably, you know, when I met Rihanna, we were going out to dinners and I was trying to impress her, so I was probably spending more money on wine than I should have. So tasting some good stuff. But, I think wine for me now is about appreciating moments. So, you know, if it's with Father's Day not far around the corner, whether it's, you know, birthdays or just family gatherings or catching up with friends now. It's about, you know, that's what wine means to me now, sitting down, enjoying and creating memories with family and friends. So that'd be one way to look at it, I guess.
Yeah, spot on, Ricky. I'm going to take that advice on board to impress the partner. That's the way to go. Now, what I'm intrigued about too, Ricky, is your Hurricanes role here, head of strategy with head coach Jeff Vaughan, assistant coaches James Hopes and Darren Berry. That is a fantastic lineup there. I'm really intrigued by your I assume their phone hookups, video conferencing at the moment, and talking strategy and all those things. Do you sort of lead those conversations and the other guys chip in?
That's been the way it's been so far, Blair. Yeah, I came down to Hobart a couple of weeks ago when we made the announcement of the new coaches or the coaching panel that we put together. And then for 2 days there, we really started to work on our strategy and work through our strategy. Obviously, the 10 contracted players we've got now, and there's a player draft coming up in just a few weeks' time that we need to be really well organised and planned and prepared for. So we've had a few more catch-ups over the last couple of weeks. I only had another one just a couple of nights ago, actually, where we're
know, we're really getting down and dirty and getting really fair dinkum with what we're doing going into this draft. But also, we understand that we can't be too reliant on the draft because, you know, if you go to the draft and things don't work out exactly the way you want, the last thing you want to be is find yourself short in certain roles. So already we've been quite active making some approaches to players. We're trying to contract players for the upcoming season, and I'm sure over the next couple of weeks you'll see some pretty exciting announcements there as far as the Hurricanes are concerned. But as I said when I took this job as head of strategy, it's absolutely not about me. It's about me being able to bring all of these people together, all their minds and experience and thoughts together, and be able to have really good open conversation about what we need to do to give the Hobart Hurricanes the best chance of winning their first BBL. And that's the track that we've set off on so far, and it's been, for me, been really enjoyable just to be back involved again in Tasmanian cricket and working with a few guys that I've known for a long time, and to feel like I'm giving something back has been great. So it's just the start of it all yet, but it's been really enjoyable.
Really interesting news yesterday, Ricky, out of Cricket Taz, that Sally-Ann Beams will become the new general manager of High Performance. Did you have any role in that, or did they get your opinion on Sal, I guess, and how she'd go in that role?
No, not at all, mate. No, my job's specific to the Hurricanes here and now, so I'm just doing whatever I can to help out that. And it's been the Hurricanes men's program, to be really clear. So, nothing there, but obviously a great appointment. Congratulations, and I'm sure some great things will come as a result of that appointment.
What have you made of Tim Payne and everything that went on with him over the last year or two? Do you see him coming back to the game in some way, shape or form over the next 12 months? And what sort of loss would it be if he was lost to cricket, I suppose?
Yeah, look, I'd love to see Tim back involved in Tasmanian cricket ASAP. I know it's not that easy. There's a few other things probably going on in the background that is hindering that at the moment. But I made it really clear to you even a couple of months ago that when he is ready to come back and get back into cricket again, that he'll be one of the first guys that I'll bring in and make sure that he's around the Hurricanes program in some way, shape or form. So, look, it's obviously been a really tough little period for him. I've caught up with him a little bit over the last few weeks and had a really good day at the footy with him, watching the Kangaroos get slaughtered by the Hawks a couple of weeks ago down there. But, he's too good a bloke, too good a person to not be back involved in Tasmanian cricket in some way, shape or form. So let's hope that sooner rather than later.
Magnificent to have the great Ricky Ponting with us on the Water Boys this morning. Stick with us, Rick. We'll come back and talk more cricket with you next here on the Water Boys right across Tassie. Thanks to Maccas.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to the Water Boys. Thanks to McDonald's, order a barista-made coffee from McCafe using the My Maccas app, and you'll go into the draw to win free coffee for a year. The great Ricky Ponting is still with us on the line. Over to you, BB.
Yes. Now, Ricky, I really enjoy your commentating Channel 7, the Test matches, the Big Bash as well, but you've got this amazing knack of forecasting what will actually happen next. So T20 cricket's highly tactical game, ball by ball. There's changes all the time.
Absolutely, Blair. That's one thing that you learn from being a coach, and obviously that's the way that I've tried to be as a commentator as well, making every ball really count and matter. Certainly in the commentary box, but as a coach, you understand that, you know, a wicket or six runs is obviously the maximum that can happen both ways off any certain delivery, and quite often T20 games are decided by smaller margins than that. So, you know, absolutely, through a T20 game, if the bowling team is obviously, there's 120 contests there, obviously, and if you can find a way to find a chink in the opposition's armour with one, two, three or five of those balls, quite often you're going to go on and win the game. So, I think that the tactical side of T20 cricket is probably highly underrated by the average punter that just sits back and, you know, watches the guys strike the ball over the boundary and they probably sit back and think, oh yeah, the team that has the most luck quite often win these T20 games. But trust me, there's a lot more planning that goes into it. The tactical side of it is off the charts. And, you know, that's the other thing that I really am keen to be able to bring to the Hurricanes set up this year, is just making sure that tactically we're a step ahead of the game and not a step behind the game. And that's, you know, one of the really most enjoyable parts of coaching and commentating T20 cricket is that tactical side of it. So I really do enjoy it, yeah.
Yeah, that is great. Now, the draft, you mentioned that a bit before, Ricky. Now, my thinking is we're probably not after an opening batsman with Short, McDermott and Wade. We've got a few fast bowlers there, Ellis, Meredith and Paris as well. What can we expect? And how many contacts have you got, Ricky, around the world in that could possibly find their way down to the Hurricanes?
I have reached out to a few internationals to make sure they've got their name in that player draft, that's for sure. Because they're, as you say there, mate, our top order batting with what we've retained looks really strong. You've got Tim David in the middle order there as well, that we need to just build a couple of guys around him. And there's a couple of ways of looking at that. Do you bring in sort of someone to bat at 3 and 4 that can be the real glue in the batting order, or do you stack it with ball striking talent and probably be a little bit different than most other franchises or most other teams in the Big Bash? So they're the things strategy-wise that we've got to work out before we get to the draft in a few weeks' time. But as I said, I'm really happy with the core of players that we've retained. We've just got to build around those. And the challenges I think that every team's going to have with this draft is just the availability of the players. I think the way it's probably going to work out, the guys in the top couple of tiers, so the platinum tier and the platinum gold tier, I think you'll see that most of those guys will only be here for probably 5 or 6 games, and then they'll pack up and leave and go to some other tournaments around the world, which is obviously disappointing for the BBL, and it's going to be really hard for the teams to manage their overseas players through this whole tournament as well. So I think strategy is going to play a big part in the draft, and that's why we're trying to get on top of it as early and as well as we can.
Couple more before we let you go, Rick. Obviously, it's been a really tough 12 months for Australian cricket with the loss of Rod Marsh, Andrew Symonds and Shane Warne. Two of those your former teammates, of course. How are you, mate? And how difficult a time has it been for Australian cricket?
Yeah, it has been difficult, mate. There's no doubt about that. I mean, and you can wind the clock back just a little bit longer than that and add Dean Jones to that list as well, another Australian cricket icon that we all got to know quite well from our travels. I played a lot against Dino and commentated with and alongside him as well a few different times. So, look, it has been an incredibly tough period. You know, Rod was like a second father to me. You know, he picked me up as a 14-year-old kid out of Launceston and took me over to the cricket academy and really started my whole cricket career off. If it wasn't for his inside foresight, I guess, I could have been sitting back in Lonnie to the age of 16, 17, 18 and missed out on a big chunk of my playing career. So I got a lot that I owe him, and obviously with the other two, with Warnie and Simo that you mentioned. I spent huge parts of my life travelling around the world and doing some pretty amazing things with both of those guys, winning Test series, and with Simo winning a couple of World Cups. And when you're playing with these guys, you're sort of spending 10, 11 months of the year with them, and you become incredibly close. So, as a result of what's happened, I've sort of taken it upon myself to make sure that I'm bringing that group of guys as close back together as possible again. We've actually got a bit of a reunion trip planned for a lot of the guys that played in those teams that you mentioned coming up in a couple of weeks' time here in Melbourne that Rihanna and I have organised for everybody. So it's a really strange life that we live as cricketers. As I say then, you spend all that time together when you're playing. And when your career stops, everyone goes back to their home state. You've got your own family, your own job, your own work, and you really don't see much of each other. And that's really sad as far as cricket's concerned. And I'm going to try and make sure they do something about that over the next couple of years.
Well said, mate. That's lovely to hear. Now, before we let you go, one last question. We know you're very passionate about the Tassie AFL bid, but we also hear you're meeting with Clark Owen and trying to get him to North Melbourne. Could you just hold him off a couple of years so he could come down south for us?
Yeah, that was a little bit of an off-the-cuff comment I made about catching up with having a coffee with Clark Owen. It made Australia-wide headlines, but I don't think Alistair Clarkson's going to need someone like me to sit down with him and try and convince him what he wants to do with his coaching career. Let's put it that way. I think he's strong enough minded to know and understand what he wants to do and what he wants to achieve. But for the footy club's sake and from the footy club's point of view, I know they're going all out and going extremely hard to land him at the club, and I think it's exactly what the club needs from a player point of view, just from a holistic AFL point of view, I think, from the Kangaroos. If they could land someone like him, I just think it would have rejuvenate things so much around what's been a pretty disappointing couple of years for the footy club. I think there's enough, from what I've seen anyway, that the young talent there seems to be good enough. They just need a bit more direction, I think, and a bit more a fresh attitude and even just for the members to be able to be excited about hopefully getting someone like Clarkson to North Melbourne would be huge as well.
Absolutely. It's been great to have you on, Ricky. Now, the highlight here is, though, we want to send a couple of our listeners off to the Tasmanian Wine Fair. Now, I think you're going to be in Lonnie on the 27th. Is that right, at the Hotel Grand Chancellor for the Tasmanian
Wine
Fair?
Yeah, certainly will be, mate. I'm coming down first thing in the morning on the 27th, spending the whole day in Lonnie at the Tasmanian Wine Fair, and then I've actually got to fly back out late that night because the draft is actually the next day here in Melbourne, so I've got to be back with a player draft the next day. So I've actually got lucky that this has worked out the way that it has. Yeah, so I'll definitely be there. Our full range of wines will be there and available for tasting, except for the 366, which we actually haven't got enough of to be able to use it at the tasting.
Okay.
But, the other really good sign in Tassie now is we've got a full-time distributor in Tasmania now, David Johnson and Associates. And so our wines are available at retail and in bars and restaurants all across the state now, which is fantastic for us.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, we want to send a couple of our listeners to Launceston and Hobart's events. And I think we've also got some personally signed bottles to give away, which we thank you very much for, which is magnificent. So if you'd like to win some bottles of personally signed Ricky Ponting wine, head to the website or the Facebook page of the station you're listening to us on right now and answer this question. If you could sit and ask Ricky a question and have a glass of wine with him, what would you ask him? So we'll get the winners announced next week, which will be magnificent.
Well, there's a couple of good examples of questions during this interview, Brett, that you could probably use those to all our listeners. Have a crack at those. And a quick one for me, Ricky.
Hey, hey, yeah. Hey, Brent, just be careful. You got those wines sitting around the studio there. The question that Blair asked me, just make sure that he doesn't slip a couple of those.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise you one bit, Rick. Wouldn't surprise me one bit.
I'm taking your advice and having a wine with the wife. That is magnificent advice for everyone out there. Hey, just on your footy career early days, I know you're a passionate North Lonnie supporter. What was your actual career like, Ricky? You showed a bit of form there as well?
I showed a little bit of potential as a junior, Blair. I only played until, I think, under 17s, at the North Launceston Junior Footy Club. Broke my humerus bone in the last game that I played. Had a steel pin in my arm for 16 weeks. Missed the start of the pre-season of the cricket season, the first few games of the cricket season, and my dad actually gave me a tap on the shoulder. He said, I think that might be your footy career over, mate. I think it's going to be cricket for you. And then I was at the cricket academy, you know, that next off-season, actually, and that's where it all started. But some of my great mates that you would have toe-to-toe battle with, you know, Adam Sanders and Scott Hawkins, mm-hmm. and these guys were the
great players
that I sort of followed around the state, Blair, that you would know quite well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I do. Dale Chugg, they were legends at North Launceston, and the Clarence and North Launceston rivalry, Brenno, was absolutely magnificent in the 90s.
Magnificent. I love how we've been given 15 minutes with Ricky. I wound up the interview and you've gone back to something completely different. So that's just him in
Ricky,
a nutshell.
Ricky took us there, not me.
Ricky, great to have you on the show, mate. We really appreciate your time and we look forward to seeing you here in Tassie in a couple of weeks' time for the Tasmanian Wine Fest.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ricky. Ricky Ponting joining us on the Water Boys this morning. What an absolute thrill for us here on this Saturday. Don't go anywhere. Up next, we wind up the show with the next winner of our Good Sport Award. Thanks to Intersport and McDonald's. That's next here on the Water Boys right across Tassie.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to the Mighty Water Boys. Thanks to Macca's. Order a barista-made coffee from McCafe using the My Macca's app and you'll go into the draw to win free coffee for a year.
Who's been doing the hard yards this week? Thanks to McDonald's, it's time to announce the next winner of the Water Boys Good Sport Award.
Yes, this is where we get to give away $100 to spend at Intersport. Thanks to McDonald's and Blair Brownless. Who's our winner this week?
Well, the winner is Alex Quinn and the sport is cricket. Flea, as he's known, is a gun player and fair captain. He plays hard but keeps great control of his players and the game. So congratulations, Alex Quinn.
Well done, Flea. You win $100 to spend at Intersport. Thanks to Macca's. And if you'd like to nominate someone for our Good Sport Award, head to the website of the station you're listening to right now and nominate them. It could be a player, a coach, a volunteer, anyone doing a wonderful job in the local sporting community.
What, when, where and why? The Water Boys take a look at what's happening across the state this weekend.
Plenty going on. Let's start with the TSL, Blair Brownless, yes. Because the game of the round's probably at North Hobart, I would have thought, because it's so big for Lauderdale. If they win that, you just about have them making the top four, I reckon.
Yeah, no, good call. And North Hobart, geez, they've been disappointing this year, haven't they? Last week, they were smashed by Clarence. They've won three games this year, Brent, all against Gnocchi. So, disappointing season for North Hobart. So, Lauderdale will surely win that one. But I don't know how that's game of the round when top team Launceston is travelling south to take on the mighty Clarence Football Club at Blunston Arena.
Sorry, I should have said
1v3 on the ladder. 1v3.
The game with the most on the line probably would have been a better call, wouldn't it? Not the game of the round. Sorry, I apologise, listeners, for doing that. TSL final's not too far away, though, which is really exciting.
Oh, it is exciting. But Launceston need a challenge, don't they? They've won loss during the season. Lauderdale got a hold of them.
Yep.
And they really need another challenge. And the big question is, can Clarence be that challenge? We know that Tigers are going really well this year, up to second, but can Clarence get up to amongst the big boys?
We'll see. SFL, we're moving into round 16 of the competition. The game of the round is down in the Huon, and it's Cygnet second v Huonville fourth. This is always a big game. They're wearing the Indigenous Guernseys as well today, which is really exciting. So apparently Huonville Oval, speaking to the captain, James McIndoe, yesterday, not in great nick, which you'd expect at this time of year when it's been so wet. But looking forward to that one today.
I think the patrons down there, they're listening already in the car. They've got their spot around the ground already. It'll be a full house down there at Huonville Oval. These two great rivals.
What about the women's game of the round? That's this afternoon at Blunston Arena, 4:30. Your girls at Clarence taking on Kingbra. That's second v four. That'll be a good one too.
Yeah, good game that one. And yeah, Clarence to win that one.
NTFA is in round 16, and it's Longford second v Scottsdale six, which we picked as the game of the round. That's at Scottsdale at 2 p.m. And this morning we've got Launceston and Old Scotch 1v3 going head to head in the women's game of the round. What about the NWFL, Blair?
Yeah, like this one, Dial Park, magnificent venue there. Some more funding going into that ground as well, which would be is very exciting. So Penguin taking on Devonport. They've been great this year, Devonport, top of the ladder. And I think Devonport might be a little bit too strong for Penguin.
You'd think so. And this morning we've got at Dial Park, the women's game of the round between Penguin and Penguin and Wynyard in the women's game of the round. That's this morning at Dial Park, as I said. Hey, NPL soccer, we know the Strikers, and we spoke about them earlier, played in the Australia Cup during the week, but it's a round off for local soccer this weekend. But there is a catch-up game due to COVID earlier in the year, and South Hobart is at home to Launceston City. These two teams only played last weekend up in Lonnie, so they're playing the catch-up game today at Darcy Street. You'd think South Hobart would win at home.
It'd be a heavy track at Darcy Street, I think.
And the Women's Super League catch-up game there too. Olympia, who are yet to win a game this season, hosting Devonport, who are third on the ladder. So you'd think the Strikers will get that job done there. Big show.
Big show.
It's been enormous, hasn't it?
Well, the highlight has to be Ricky. We had a great interview with Ricky. Peter Hudson, highlight as well. Wayne Campbell, all the big stars. Danielle Pickett, loved her as well. Good luck to the netballers today. And Cripps taking on the Northern Hawks.
What's your weekend look like?
Well, I'm off to the luncheon, actually. I'm going to the Launceston Clarence game. There's 75 years of celebrations for the Clarence Football Club. So having a luncheon there. So head over there and take that in. No, just having a week off the hosting.
Who's hosting it?
Well, this is a football club function, not the past players necessarily. Okay. So I do help them out on occasions, but not on this one.
Okay, very good. Now, if you want to catch up with anything that you've heard this morning, look out for the podcast, which is up on our Waterboys page.
And the competition, Breno, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you can win some Ricky Ponting signed wine and head off to the Tasmanian Wine Festival, which is going to be magnificent in the next couple of weeks in Launceston and Hobart. Make sure you look at our Facebook page at 7HOLAFM. 7AD, 7XS, 7BU, wherever you're listening to us, look us up and get around that competition because you could win some personally signed bottles of Ricky Ponting wine. Big show. Look forward to seeing you again next weekend for more Waterboys. Catch you then.